lights my path, how it guides my way.
I've got the reading for us today. So if you'd like to turn to your Bibles, wherever it may be, on paper or on your phone. Our reading today is from John chapter 8, from verse 31 to 36. And this is what it says. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. Debbie, would you like to come up and I'll pray for you? Oh Lord God, I just thank you for Debbie. Lord, I thank you for the word that you have put on her heart today. Father, I just pray that you would fill her afresh, strengthen her and inspire her as she speaks. Lord God, we thank you. Your presence is here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good afternoon, everybody. Now, if you had your Bible open as that reading was happening, then you might want to cast your eye down or scroll your finger up, however you're reading it, and discover that this passage that we're going to think about today is actually much longer than the verses that we have begun reading. And what I'm going to do, just to make sure that you are all listening carefully, I'm going to invite us to join in again with the reading this time. And in a moment, when Leslie flicks the button, you'll see the reading come up on the screen. And the bits in black, I'm going to read. But the bits in red, I want you to feel your way into the characters of the crowd. You are going to speak those out together. Old and young, children, you can do this too if you can read the words on the screen. And try and put some emotion into it. Try and make it sound like you think that crowd might have sounded in this moment. Okay? Are we ready? Here it is. You read the red, I'll read the black. Jesus told the people who had faith in him, "If you keep on obeying what I have said, you truly are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered,
"We are Abraham's children.
We have never been enslaved." Yeah, that was quite good. Can flick on again. Jesus replied, "I tell you for certain that anyone who sins is a slave of sin. And slaves don't stay in the family forever, though the Son will always remain in the family. So if the Son gives you freedom, you are free." Amen. Wonderful. I'm glad we did that because I wanted you just to think your way for a moment into the mindset of this crowd that Jesus is speaking to. And if you flick on down in your Bibles, if you look ahead in the way that this discussion, this conversation unfolds, what you will see there is that Jesus has one of those kind of conversations and encounters with a crowd that starts to build and grow in tension. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you're on the bus or you're on the train or something like that, and you hear two people talking to one another, and it starts off, it sounds okay, they're just having an interaction, but then suddenly one of them says something and the tone changes, and all of a sudden inside you get that feeling. You know what I'm talking about because you all live in London, okay? You get that feeling and you're like, tense. tense. It's getting tense. And then you can hear it starts to go back and forth and back and forth. And the tension is building and the pressure is increasing. You might have even seen it in your playground, children. This can happen in the playground, can't it? Somebody's chatting away, playing, having a good game with somebody, but suddenly the atmosphere changes and the tension starts to rise. And it can get to the point where you think to yourself, any minute now, it's going to come to blows. Any minute now, somebody's going to get that fist and they're going to boof you. Caroline didn't even notice that. They're going to get the other person. And you know, this is what we've got here. This is the situation that is unfolding in this passage with Jesus and this crowd. There is a moment, probably in that bit that you just read out in the red, there is a moment where the conversation changes and the tension starts to build and increase. And by the time we get to the end of the chapter, you'll find the very last thing that they're doing is it says that the crowd came and they were ready to pick up stones to throw at Jesus, to hurt him and to harm him and to cause him pain. That is how tense the whole situation was getting. And I want us just to ask ourselves for a moment, what is it that Jesus said that got this crowd so worked up and so angry? You can flick on one for that question. What did Jesus say that got those crowds so worked up and angry that by the end of it, they want to pick up stones and stone him and cause him pain, cause him injury? What did he say? Actually, there's quite a lot of answers to that question. There's a few things that Jesus says, but I want us to think about the big answer. What is the big picture answer here? What did Jesus say that made those crowds so cross? The answer is, Russell thinks he knows. They were a slave to sin. That is specific. Leslie, hit the button. The truth. Bigger picture answer. The thing that got that crowd so wound up was the truth. The truth. Jesus was speaking truth and it was riling those people. Jesus always speaks the truth. Everything that Jesus said was truth. Jesus himself, as we've already heard this afternoon, was the very embodiment of truth. He is the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Everything about Jesus is truth. You can't get away from the truth when Jesus is around. If you want to get close to Jesus, you're going to encounter truth. And the thing about the truth is that it's not always very comfortable, is it? That's the truth. Truth is not always comfortable. Truth can be, in fact, very threatening to us. Truth can be very provoking and provocative. It can even make us feel angry because perhaps it's something that we don't want to face. And you know, the Bible uses a particular image for truth. It comes up quite a few times. I've got it on the screen there and I've got my own little version of it here. The Bible talks about truth in lots of places as being like a sword. The truth of God's word is called the sword of the Spirit. There is a vision that John has in the book of Revelation where he has a picture, doesn't he? A vision of Jesus. And it says the sword is coming out of Jesus' mouth. It's a picture for us that Jesus' words are truth-filled and that they are powerful and incisive. The Bible says that the word of God can cut like a sword to pierce between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's an image the Bible likes to use, that truth is like a sword. So in some ways, maybe when we think about that crowd and Jesus speaking that truth, bit by bit by bit, he's revealing more and more truth through that conversation. It's almost like he is unsheathing a sword from its scabbard. You can understand in some ways that if he started waving and unsheathing a sword and waving it around, that people might have started to feel a bit uncomfortable and threatened and provoked. We can kind of understand it, can't we? Because they would have been thinking to themselves, what is Jesus going to do with that sword? Is he safe with that sword? Is he trustworthy with that sword? So I want to ask us another question now. Remember, you're thinking yourself into that place of that crowd all those years ago listening to Jesus. My question is, what was Jesus doing as he unsheathed that sword of truth? What was he doing? Was he trying to make those people feel like that? Was he trying to make them feel uncomfortable and threatened and provoked? Was he trying to do that? Can flick on and leave that question there for a minute. What was Jesus trying to do as he spoke the truth to them? Now, we're going to come back to the answer to that question in a moment, but what we're going to do right now is get a little bit active. I need your help. So around your tables, you will find in your buckets some strips of paper that look like this. And children, you are definitely going to want to help your adults. So you might want to go back to your tables just for this game. Because in your buckets, you'll find these kind of strips of paper. And when I say go, but not before, each table, your challenge is, if you peel one off, you just need to lick the end. Or if you don't want to do that, do your fingers, get it wet. And you can turn this strip of paper into a circle, usually. And then when you've done one, you do another one, and then you link it together. This one's not sticking. This is what Donna was saying to me earlier when we did this at Sitting Bourne. She was like, some of them don't stick. But if they don't, just try another one. And you turn it over, and I want you to try and make paper chains. You know how to do that? Don't start yet, because it's going to be a race. And when I tell you to stop, I want to see which table has created the longest paper chain like this. And that table will receive a wonderful prize. Okay, so are you ready? You have got exactly-ish 2 minutes. And your 2 minutes start now. Start making your paper chains. You might want every person around your table to start licking and sticking, and then when we get towards the end of the timer, you can stick them together to make the longest chain that you possibly can. We can have some paper making music if you like, Ian. Doesn't have any. That's it. Are you getting them to stick? There is glue on your table, so if you need extra help with the sticking, the glue can help. I'm looking for the longest chain, so everybody needs to get involved to try to make... Oh, that's good. That table over there is doing well, I can see. I'll give you a bit of a warning. You've got 1 minute left. 1 minute left, okay? So I reckon in about 30 seconds, start sticking them together. To get one nice big long one if you can. That's it. Zoe's doing the sticking on this table. See if you can link them up. Link them up, because it's the longest one that is going to win the prize. We have 30 seconds. 30 seconds on the clock. 30 seconds. Make sure you're joining them together. Use some glue if you need to. Not bad, this table. Not bad for two of you. That's okay. That was all. And stop. Oh dear. There we go. Stop. Okay, no more adding. I need a volunteer from each table to come forward with their chain and hold it. Oh my goodness, look at that one. And hold it. Maybe you don't even need to do it. Okay, hold it. Oh no, that's pretty long. That's pretty long. Okay. Okay, come. No, you need to come so we can measure. You need to come forward so we can measure. This is amazing. Right. Okay, so everyone can measure against this one that Alita and I are holding. So stretch out that way. Stretch out that way. Okay, so start. That's it, Justine. And then Ethan, come along. Come along towards me. Come past. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, is Abby's longer? Yeah, it is. Pull it straight. No, maybe not quite. Okay, Justine, anyone getting anywhere? I love that little one there. Okay, this Ellie's one. We need to see if Ellie's is going to go. Oh, no, it's not quite. It's near, but it's not quite. Okay, Russell, I can see your one hasn't quite made it, but I can see Paola's one hasn't. I think it's got to be Ethan and Justine's table. It was very close with Donna's table. Was it that one?
Yeah.
It was very close with Abby's table. But unfortunately, they are the winners of... No, it's not chocolate. It's peach rings. They're fizzy. They're fizzy. It's not actual fruit. Don't worry. Now, hang on. You've taken your chains away, but I need them back. So can you put them on this chair for me, please? Just give me back my chains, because I'm going to need those, because we're going to come back to this question. Thank you. You can just put them down by the chair here. That will do. We're going to need them to answer this question. So, back to this question, what was Jesus trying to do as he was unsheathing this sword of truth? What was his intention? What did he want those people to feel? I think that things, the picture that we're supposed to have in our minds is it's going to be helped by seeing the chains introduced. Now, I need a volunteer to come and sit in this chair for me. Yeah, look, Elena's here. I think that's good. So if you imagine that here I am, I'm Jesus with my sword of truth, and she's one of the people in the crowd. If I come towards her like this, how's she going to be feeling? Exactly, because she feels vulnerable. She feels defenseless. She feels like maybe I'm going to hurt her with that sword. But if we imagine instead that actually this person is not just sitting there defenseless, but is actually wrapped up and bound up with all kinds of chains. If she is actually a prisoner and a captive and covered in things that are locking her up, all of a sudden it changes the picture, doesn't it? I'm unsheathing my sword of truth. I'm coming towards her, but now maybe she can trust. I'm not here to hurt her. I am here instead to break the chains and to bring them off her and to see her set free. Amen. You can cheer if you like to. Okay, now you can leave those chains there for a moment, but you're allowed to go back to your seat. Because Jesus was pulling out that sword of truth to bring freedom to those people. He said to them, you will know the truth. You will see the truth. You will hear the truth as I'm speaking to you. And that truth can set you free. But you see, those people in Jesus' day, they didn't realize and they didn't understand that that was what he was doing, because they weren't listening to him properly and they weren't allowing his words into their hearts. And because they didn't trust Jesus properly, they didn't trust that he had good in his heart for them. So they didn't know. They didn't realize that they were all bound up with all kinds of chains around their lives that needed breaking off. They didn't realize that actually they were prisoners and captives, and that sword of truth, however uncomfortable and threatening and provoking it might at first seem, was actually the very thing that was going to set them free. And there are at least three things in this passage I want us to reflect on before we pray. three chains that Jesus attacks in this passage that need breaking, and they need breaking in our lives too. The first one, if you click on, is the game. The first one is the chain of sin. And we already mentioned that. We heard it in our reading, and Russell mentioned that. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that anyone who sins is a slave of sin. And we may not realize in our lives that we are enslaved to the sins in our lives. We may not realize that there are things that we are bound up by, the things that we can't stop doing, the bad habits, the addictions, the behaviors, the attitudes that we keep going back to, the words that we speak that we wish that we didn't, the things that we feel we're not in control of in our lives, but we know they're not right. We know they're not good. They are binding us up. They are like chains around us. They are locking us up and they need breaking. And you know, Jesus says he has the power to come with his truth and set us free from the power of sin. It doesn't matter how entrenched we feel, how locked up and impossible it is for us to change, Jesus can come and set us free. Second sort of chains that we find around our lives are chains of the past. And Jesus attacks these as well. In verse 37, he says, I know that you are from Abraham's family, yet you want to kill me because my message isn't really in your hearts. I know you're from Abraham's family. You know, that statement that they made in the crowd, we are Abraham's children. We belong to Abraham. We are good Jews. We have the right family history. We have all the right stuff in place for us. That means we don't really have to listen to you, Jesus, because we think we know we're okay because of our past, because of our history, because of our family circumstances. But Jesus wanted them to see and understand these things are actually chains around your life. They are stopping you and hindering you from following me. And you know, us today, we may be sitting here today with chains from the past that tie us up. Chains from our family history, chains from the circumstances that we grew up in, chains from experiences that we have had earlier on in our lives. And they have shaped us and bound us and held us back and trapped us and stopped us from being who Jesus truly wants us to be. But he teaches us that he has the power. His truth can set us free from the chains of the past. His truth is powerful enough to break even the chains that come from family history and family experiences and bad experiences that have locked us up. Thirdly, we might find around our lives chains of the devil's lies. And Jesus says in verse 44, your father is the devil, and you do exactly what he wants. He has always been a murderer and a liar. There is nothing truthful about him. He speaks on his own, and everything he says is a lie. Not only is he a liar himself, but he is also the father of all lies. I mean, they are strong words. They were provocative words that Jesus spoke. But why did he speak them? Because he wanted those people to be set free from the lies that the devil had sown into their lives. He wanted them to know that the power of those things could be broken. There are all kinds of things that we believe, all kinds of lies and deception that the enemy sows into our hearts, into our thoughts and our thinking. And the power of those lies are like chains. They hold us back and tie us up. They need to be broken. And we can find sometimes, we don't realize it, but we suddenly see that the devil has planted a wrong thought, a wrong judgment about somebody else, a wrong assumption about a situation, a wrong perspective that we have taken on board. And we've started to build on it. We've built our whole lives around it. We've built our actions and our responses out of that lie, out of that deception. And you know, when things like that happen, we get led into a darker and darker and darker place in our lives. That place that we are led into is a place of no peace. It is a place of strained relationship, and if we find ourselves in those places, maybe it's because there's been something sown in. There's a lie from the enemy that needs breaking in the powerful name of Jesus. And you know, Jesus says that his truth can come and break even the devil's lives. And we want to pray, don't we, together, as we think about these things. Maybe some of those chains that we've mentioned, you recognize them in your own life. Maybe you recognize that there are sins that are holding you back, things that you can't change. Maybe you recognize that there is stuff in your history or your past that is holding you back and you feel tied up by it. Or maybe you recognize that actually the enemy has spoken some lies to you and you've believed them and you've been building around them, but now you see they need to come down, they need to be broken. And we're going to pray together. We're going to pray prophetically over ourselves in this room, maybe also over other people that we know who may be feeling chained up in this way. Because, you know, these chains are not just things that non-Christians or people who don't know Jesus yet are carrying around with them. If you remember back to the start of that passage, it says these were people who had put their faith in Jesus. They had faith. They believed in him, they listened to his words, and they were responding. You know, in the same way, we are people of faith, but we may still have chains that need breaking in our lives. But we don't want to be like that crowd, because in the end, they refused to listen and they refused to let Jesus help them. And instead, they just allowed themselves to get angrier and more provoked. But we want to be the people who trust Jesus, who trust him that his truth is good for us. That even if we have to face things that are difficult, truths that are painful and hard to accept, that we can do it and know that he's not going to damage us with that truth. Because, you know, you could put this truth sword in some people's hands, an unskilled person, an unpredictable person, an unruly person, and it could be very damaging. And some of us have had the truth used at us like that. And we know that we felt damaged by people speaking at us in an unskilled way. But Jesus' truth wielding is not like that. It's not to damage you. It is to set you free. It is to break the chains. And he can break the chains without harming you. That's his work. And that's the work he wants to do today. So we can trust that truth sword in the hands of Jesus. And we're going to pray something all together, if you would like to. I'll invite you to pray it with me. And I'm going to put the mic down so that we can all do this. And as we do it, I'm going to prophetically do a prophetic act of chain breaking. And you can see and feel and know the truth of Jesus setting you free. So if you flick on, these are the prayers that we're going to pray. We're all going to shout out and read out in the red that prayer. We're going to say it like a prayer from our hearts. Jesus, set us free. And I will read for us these different areas. And as we do, I'm going to break some chains and Leslie will help me. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, We've spoken these words in a dramatic way, but we believe in the power of them, Lord. We believe that your truth is here to come and set us free. And I do pray for any of us who were responding in our hearts then as we prayed those prayers, lifting areas of our lives to you that we know need to change, that we know need freedom. And you have promised us, Lord, that the ones that the Son sets free are free indeed. We are truly, truly free. And so, Lord, we just open our hearts to you now. We open to the work of your Spirit, and we invite you, Lord, continue to come and break us free, set us free from every chain in our lives, Lord, that we might be a free people, ready to serve you, ready to live for you in this world, ready to run for you, not hindered, not impeded by the stuff the enemy throws at us, but running free into your purposes for us. I pray for each and every one of us here, from the oldest to the youngest, that we will know the release and the power of your freedom more and more fully in our lives. Come and do your work amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living word abide in me too.